This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Keeping things slow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The CEO of Time Warner is looking for a buyer ASAP. He wants to sell AOL's dial-up business. Yes, the dial-up business. Now, who would want to buy that? Well, it turns out there are plenty of people who are still using dial-up. Bob Moon has more.
If you're thinking this sound is so 1990s.
Welcome. You've got mail.
You may be surprised to learn AOL still takes in more than $2 billion a year from dial-up subscribers. Parent Time Warner hopes to sell that part of the business off within the next month and focus on its content and advertising. A rival, perhaps Earthlink, might benefit from adding more than 8.5 million dial-up customers. Forrester Research Analyst Sally Cohen says the business still has a future.
The cost of dial-up service has come down so much over the last couple of years and perhaps might continue to come down as the market shrinks.
Cohen says dial-up's good enough for those who just want to check mail or read the news. And in the L.A. suburb of Manhattan Beach, Rob Combs thinks it's just safer.
There's one thing about this dial-up. It is slow, but it's also a very controlled, secure connection.
Combs admits it would be nice to have broadband, especially when I suggested if he missed this story on the air, he could always stream the audio over his dial-up internet connection. Perhaps that reaction explains why AOL is telling this business
goodbye.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Yesterday, the price of oil spiked to almost $140 a barrel. This morning, it's back down to about $134 and change. In the stock markets, the markets in Asia finished mixed with small gains here and small losses there. European shares are up more than 1% so far. The Dow is at 12,269 after losing 38 points. The Nasdaq gained 20 yesterday. The S&P 500 was little changed. Imagine an election year where the agency in charge of campaign finance laws can't do anything. Well, that's exactly what's happening this year. Marketplace's Steve Henn explains.
With just two sitting commissioners, the FEC can't reach a quorum, start an investigation, issue a ruling, or write a single regulation. Fred Wertheimer is the founder of Democracy 21, a campaign finance reform group.
If this had happened in a third world country, we would have called it a banana republic.
Normally, six commissioners sit on the FEC. Now there's a deal, and the Senate's likely to approve new commissioners any day.
Five of the six commissioners are going to be new people who have never served on the commission. They're going to have a very tough job ahead.
Commissioners will need to decide if John McCain violated campaign laws by first applying for and then rejecting federal matching funds. They'll have to issue new rules for lobbyists raising campaign cash. And then they can take up more than 200 enforcement actions sitting on ICE. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Okay, trivia time. What TV show started in 1971, has aired 1,100 episodes, and was never actually canceled? The answer?
Soul Train, the hippest trip in America.
Soul Train is making a comeback. A new company called Mad Vision Entertainment just bought the show from founder Don Cornelius. The New York Times says Mad Vision will put the old shows on DVD and produce new episodes for this generation. Soul Train's last new show went on the air in 2006.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BrandWeek, the news organization dedicated to the information needs of strategic-minded marketing executives with real-time coverage, now searchable at brandweek.com. And by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com.
The dollar once again lost value today against other currencies. The dollar's weakness, of course, means other currencies get stronger. But people also turn to gold. It's going for $872 an ounce in London this morning. In the last year, gold is up 40%. So if you have gold things you'd be willing to part with, now might be a good time to sell. Reporter Jamie Bedrin hit the streets of New York armed with a gold necklace and a microphone.
I'm standing with jeweler Frank Pollock in his offices on the ninth floor of a New York City building overlooking Fifth Avenue. I show him the goods.
I brought a couple things that are mine, that are my mother's, things that were family pieces.
Let's see what this is. This is Barry Kieselstein cord, and this actually has more value as jewelry than it does as scrap.
Pollock's been in the business since he was 15 years old. He says whenever the price of gold spikes, people rush to unload their old jewelry, the kind of baubles they don't wear anymore or received as gifts or inherited. The higher gold climbs, the more people there are coming out of the woodwork. Pollock says there's always a market for this type of gold.
Jewelers are buying gold because they're recycling. And one way of cutting down on your cost of recycling is to buy scrap, refine it, and reuse it that way.
Pollock says 99% of the gold sold in American stores is recycled. And not just from jewelry. It comes from computer parts, industrial components, even old teeth. Back to that necklace. It's 18 karat gold and weighs 6 ounces.
You have $4,500 worth of scrap gold.
Wow.
Okay. But this, being jewelry, is probably worth a little more. This is worth 25 to 30% more because it's jewelry.
$6,000. I thought I could do better. I took the necklace around the corner to 47th Street in New York City's Diamond District and met with Roman Maliyev.
It's a very outdated look. I mean, you know, to sell something like this, you'd have to sit around and wait for it. So, for example, most jewelers wouldn't invest into this as a piece.
His suggestion, clean it up and try to sell it privately, maybe on eBay, or melt it down. Melt it down? It's my mom's necklace. So I'm not going to sell it, at least not yet. In New York, I'm Jamie Bedrin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.